You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 31 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the victory over Wolves as Scholes brings up a century of league goals. We'll have all the regular features of the week, the news of a victory for the reserves, and we'll be previewing the crunch clash with Milan in the Champions League.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to episode 31 of the redcafe.net podcast. I'm joined by Dan and Dov, as I am every week. Guys, how are we?
Not too bad, Steve. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good. All good. Ticking along. Dov, you all good?
Yeah, as always. Very, very good indeed.
Fantastic. Well then, we'll kick off the show by reviewing the win over Wolves at Molineux on the weekend, 1-0. Dan, grabbed the victory in the end, took us to the top, but we rode our luck at times, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought Wolves were very unlucky not to get a point, really. I think they played really well. I mean, I don't understand teams like that. Why can't they play like that every week and they won't be in the position that they're in? It takes a big team to come along for them to actually up the game. But I mean, I thought we dealt with most of the stuff fairly well. Had our first string back five out until Wes Brown got injured again. So it's another injury that we didn't need, which means Mr. Neville will probably get a few more games now. But I mean, overall, I think it was very good. And Mr. Berbatov picked up man of the match, I believe, Dov.
That was a good performance from him, wasn't it, Dan?
It was a standout performance, yeah, I think.
Very impressed.
Yeah, very, very good. He held up well. He was up front on his own, wasn't he? And he, you know, I think he held the ball up well. As well as what Rooney does, I think. But obviously Rooney's a bit more prolific. But I think that Berbatov has shown that he can do it.
Can I give him one criticism, Dan?
Yeah,
he doesn't like to have a shot, does he?
No, I mean, that's something... I don't know, really. I mean, I think it might just be a bit of lack of confidence on that part. But, I mean, I'm sure that'll come. I mean, he's played well up front on his own. I think he played in the San Siro last year against Inter, didn't he? Alone up front. I thought he did really well. But I mean, it was promising, and hopefully he can stay fit now to the end of the season. Obviously, with Owen being injured and Rooney missing the game as well, just hope it can crack on now. Steve, did you see the game? What did you think?
I've only seen highlights, but yeah, from what I've seen, I mean, like you said, we did sort of ride our luck a bit. Folks missed that chance at the very end. It's a bit sloppy from Carrick giving it away there, but yeah, we survived that. And it's those sort of wins that win titles, aren't they, really? You go and sort of, not on your game, but you can still come away, pick up the 1-0 win. Like Liverpool tonight, we've just seen, they've gone to Wigan and they've lost. I know they're not in a title race, but that's probably why. They can't go to these places and not play well and still pick up a result. We did it without Rooney as well. I think it's a testament to how strong we are this season. But Paul Scholes, what about him? 100 league goals up for him now, and just wanted to do a slight little feature. I mean, what's your favourite Paul Scholes moment? Just looking back over the years to mark this 100 league goals landmark, Dov. What's your favourite all-time Scholes moment?
You kind of put me on a spot like that. it might have been the first time I heard him talk. I can always remember that. I was years and years ago now, and the first time I heard him talk, I was surprised how... I don't know, nonchalant and how down to earth he seemed as well. But if you want to pick moments, there are far too many to put me on a spot like that.
Dan, is there a particular goal that sticks in the mind for you?
Oh, there's, well, obviously there's a lot of goals to choose from. The one that I think stands out most is probably the obvious one, Valley Parade against Bradford, edge of the area, from the direct corner from Beckham. That was a special strike. And also I think the one against Villa a few seasons ago, the ease in which he struck that volley, it was phenomenal, and it didn't even seem to try to put anything into it. Yeah, he got all that power and accuracy behind it, and it was brilliant, really.
The height the ball dropped from as well, to be able to execute such a technical volley as well, with it dropping so high, was just fantastic. But Paul Scholes, I mean, imagine he was still in the England fray, imagine he hadn't retired. I mean, would you say he'd still be in the squad? Would he start?
I don't think he'd start, but I think he would. I think he'd get in the squad. I mean, he's such a good player. I mean, I know we've stated in the past about him, you know, aging a little bit now. But I mean, this season, I think he's been, bar the odd one or two games, especially the one against Fulham. I think bar that, really, I think he's been a pretty consistent performer. His passing's still second to none. He's obviously still got a lot in the scoring department as well. And it's his intelligence now. He plays a lot deeper. He plays that more withdrawn role, and he can pick passes out. And I think it's great to see players like Scholes still doing the business alongside Ryan Giggs as well. But I mean, I think he would get in the squad.
Do you think he'd maybe be a bit better off playing a bit further forward? I was thinking about this, like, because he's not really got the legs anymore, but he's still got obviously intelligence, the quality of his passing, and he can still hit a decent shot. Do you not think it'd be better for him to be playing closer to the goal instead of playing maybe a lot more final balls to Rooney or Berbatov, or for playing Valencia, players like that, through instead of him playing as deep as he does?
I'm not sure. I think he can start moves from where he is a bit more effectively than what he could do if he was, like, you know, like you're saying, a bit more advanced. Because a lot of the play still goes through him now anyway, so he's still got an influence on the game. But I just think that the fact that his vision's obviously still decent, and he can, like you say, he can pick a pass out, he can spray it left or right, can't he, as well? So I think Ferguson's got it right on this instance, you know, playing him where he is, letting the likes of Carrick go forward a little bit more, and obviously Anderson when he's back fit as well. But I mean, I think he's been a pretty good player for us this season. Depends how many years he's got left, of course, though.
Just back to the Wolves game.
Yeah.
See, without Rooney, was that sort of a sign of how much we are sort of relying on him this season? I know we got the victory, but didn't create too many chances, did we? And we just didn't seem to, as Dov said, Berbatov didn't really fancy taking many shots on. I mean, that was his role, wasn't to do that, was to hold up the ball. But we sort of lacked that potency, didn't we, which you obviously get with Rooney in the side.
Well, you say that, Steve, but I mean, I remember Rooney played against Leeds at Old Trafford, and he was quiet. He played against Birmingham at St Andrews as well, where we didn't win those games with Rooney in the team. I mean, obviously we are reliant on him, just like every team is with their best players. You know, when players aren't playing well, you can notice the difference. Like Liverpool tonight, Torres and Gerrard were fairly quiet, and Liverpool didn't have any attacking threat. And it's the same when Rooney doesn't play for United. The difference is between United and Liverpool is that we've got a little bit more depth, I think, and we've got match winners from all over the park, really. And that's helped us, especially at the weekend, really.
And Dov Nani back in the side after his suspension, but. Back to his usual sort of disappointing performances, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, it wasn't very good to watch. Frustrating, as he always is. Played on the left, which that seems to be the place where he's, first of all, it brings out the frustrations of other players most. It takes too much time to make any decisions, and his final ball was terrible, and it was back to the Nani of old. Personally, I think he plays much better on the right, which was seen when he was in a rich vein of form. He was playing on the right-hand side. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ferguson can actually fit him in the team, because I would say on the left-hand side, it doesn't work for him.
Well, I mean, our strongest lineup at the moment, I'm guessing Valencia, right, it's probably Park left at the moment. Is that fair to say?
I think so. When Park came on the weekend, it was much, much better than Nani, and a bit more decisive. Sort of going forward as well, so I thought what the future holds for Luis Nani will be interesting.
Dan, Vidic and Ferdinand back together again. That's good news for obviously the Milan game coming up in the week. Just good to see him playing again together.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I mentioned it in the beginning, you know, we've got our strongest back defence out now. I know it was only for like 45 minutes, but it was good to see, you know, that foundation coming back again. Hopefully Ferdinand can stay fit now till the end of the season. I think he needs to, both on international, you know, level and for United as well. I think we do miss him when he's not playing. But him and Vidic complement each other perfectly well, and we're looking for a good defensive record with those two at the back, and hopefully we can, you know, stride on and win the league and see how far we can get in the Champions League as well. It's good to have him back against Milan. I think Milan will come out and attack us on Wednesday. Obviously needing to get a goal there. And I think it would be good to have, obviously, the experience as well that Ferdinand brings.
And what do you think about the future? Well, Diouf, for example, because he missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chances, maybe, since when he came on. I mean, Steve, what did you make of his performance?
I think it's difficult to judge him at this early stage. he's only just joined United. It's a such a high pressure club, but then you can say, well, he's a professional footballer. If he wants to come to United, he's going to have to deal with that. But yeah, you're right. It wasn't one of his best days. Probably his worst performance so far. I mean, the few that he's had. But I don't know with this whole thing. I mean, I compare this sort of signing to the one of Menucho. I think it's very similar sort of age players. They come in, they've been decent elsewhere in Europe, albeit not in a very strong league. And I can't really understand why we do it. I mean, was it 6.5-7 million, something like that, we spent out on him? And I don't know. I'd be tempted to sort of go for someone who's more proven in a bigger European league. But then obviously, you're looking at having to pay out a lot more money. But yeah, it's too early to say whether he's going to sort of have an impact in the future. I mean, he looks like he's got the attributes you need. He's got pace. On another day, he's shown he can finish. Certainly in the reserves, he's shown he can finish. So he's got the potential, but it's whether he gets the chances. I mean, look, Makeda last season, he was brilliant, wasn't he, in the few games he played, and hardly got a look in this term. So begs to see what role he's going to have next season. But I wouldn't look too much into the Wolves game. But no, you're right, he wasn't on form, but hopefully that'll improve. And just while we're on the topic of Diouf, guys, an email from Safian Benzaire. He's sort of gone through his ideal, shall we say, starting 11 for next season, and he's a bit sort of unsure what he's going to do up front. He's thinking, obviously, Rooney to start, but then he's not sure about Berbatov, and he thinks it could be a big season next term for either Diouf and Makeda. I mean, what do you make of that? I've just mentioned Makeda there. Do you see him stepping up next season, Dan?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Makeda. I mean, I like his style and the way that he wants to get in behind defences and things like that. But I think his attitude sometimes looks a little bit uneasy. I mean, I can't remember which game it was. I think it might have been the Moscow game if he played. I can't remember what opponent it was. But he didn't seem to be at all interested when he wasn't getting the ball. He was making all these runs, but no one was passing it to him, you know. And I think it's all about being patient when you play up front. But I mean, I think he's obviously a very talented footballer, but he'll just have to learn his trade a little bit more. Maybe this season was a bit too early. I know he's been injured as well for the most part, but in general, I think that he'll be a decent player for us. Possibly, like you say, you know, next season might be his season to step up to the mark.
It may be a case of Ferguson not wanting to sort of let him go too early. I mean, look what happened with Giuseppe Rossi. He let him go, and you could see how good a player he was when he left. I mean, it was Villarreal, wasn't it? He went to, or was it Parma at the time? I think it was Villarreal. And it's been superb, hasn't it, from what I've seen. And I think Ferguson sort of regrets that a little bit. I mean, if you think about the sort of role he'd be playing now, he probably wouldn't have signed Owen, would he, if Rossi had been sort of around the club and on form. And he'd probably be an ideal player to bring in at the moment. So, I don't know, maybe he's got that at the back of his mind as well. But we shall see. All right, well, we'll move on to the player and cabbage of the week now then, guys. Dov, who's your player of the week for this week?
Paul Scholes. I thought he was fantastic in, obviously, the middle of the park against Wolves. Really sort of showed his class in that game as well. And got his 100th Premier League goal, so there should be no other player of the week other than the Ginger Ninja himself.
Dan?
I'm going to go with Berbatov. Man of the match performance. I thought he linked up the play very well, held the line well as well. So, I mean, I think overall one of his best performances in a night shirt, which we've been saying, you know, for the past 3 or 4 weeks now, that he's starting to come into form. What about you, Steve? Who are you going to go for?
I think there is only the two, really, isn't there, to pick from, Scholes and Berbatov. I don't think anyone else really stood out too much. So I'm going to give it to Scholes purely for the bringing up the 100th league goal. And to be playing at that level, and as well as he has been at his age, is just phenomenal, really. And just listening to Sky Sports the other day, I mean, they were talking about how I believe he's never won like the PFA Player of the Year or the Football Writers Player of the Year. And it seems mad, doesn't it? Because he's been such a top player all these years, and how he hasn't won it. They suggested maybe he could win it this season, but that sort of player doesn't get noticed, does he, really? It'll be the player that bangs in the goals like a Rooney. He's probably likely to win it, isn't he? But it's a shame in a way, but then I suppose he's not been massively influential this term, has he? And again, he goes and scores the goal, one of the goals in Milan that probably help us on our way, touch wood. So, yes. Paul Scholes for me anyway, player of the week. What about cabbage? Dov, I'll start with you this time.
Come on, back to me again, Steve. I'm tempted to give Cabbage to Diouf just for spurning a number of chances. Some of them were, like, I think maybe I could even have put them in, and that's saying a lot. Nani as well was another one, but I like Nani, so I'm going to give it to Diouf.
Dan?
I think probably Nani. I've thought of Wes Brown again for getting injured, even though it wasn't his fault, I suppose. But the guy can never get a consistent run of games, can he? And it's frustrating. But I think Nani.
The thing with Nani, I mean, just frustrates me to hear him us saying that he should be playing on the right. If you're that good a footballer, you should surely be able to adapt on the left, shouldn't you? Surely. I mean, look at, not trying to compare him to Ronaldo, but you play Ronaldo anywhere, he's going to influence a game, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's just the fact that he likes to get his crosses in fairly early, doesn't he? And he could do that on the right-hand side, but he can't on the left because obviously his left foot's not as strong. But, I mean, I noticed for Chelsea at the weekend, Paulo Ferreira played left-back. And he's right-footed, isn't he? Every ball he put in was with his left foot. So maybe we should sign Paulo Ferreira. So it's a left midfielder in front of Patrick Sever. What do you think about that?
Sure about that. That's well, my Cabbage, I'm going to give it to Michael Carrick this week. Oof. For the daft sort of pass towards Sam. Well, it set up the opportunity for Sam Vokes, and luckily he skied it. If he'd scored that, it would have been a really depressing, wouldn't it? An awful result.
That was a heart and mouth moment, I'll tell you that much.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
All right, well then, guys, we'll move on and do Dov's Legends profile now. Dov, have you got someone lined up for us this week?
Steve, this week's legend is Anthony Peter Dunn. Or Tony Dunn, to everybody else. He was an Irish player, born in Dublin on the 24th of July, 1941. He was a left back, so comparisons with Dennis Irwin will be rife. He played for a famous team in Ireland, apparently, the Nursery Stella Maris Football Club as a schoolboy, and then went on to play for Shelbourne in between 1950 and 1960. Only 18 games for them. He won the FAI Youth Cup in 1959 and then the FAI Cup the year after when Shelburne beat Cork Hibernians 2-0 in the final. After the final, Manchester United, they came in for him, £5,000 he was signed for in 1960. His debut for United came on the 15th of October 1960 against Burnley, and he was quite a catch as a player. A great left back, although not too apt at bombing forward, but defending was second to none. He helped United win the 1963 FA Cup and the 1965 and 67 First Division Championships, and then also the 1968 European Cup. Overall for United, he played 535 games, scoring 2 goals. When he signed for us as well, it was at first sort of signed as cover, but sort of managed to earn the first team place away from Noel Cantwell and Shea Brennan, who were sort of first choice at the time. He was quite a fast defender as well, especially fast for sort of the era that he played in. He was a bit of a sort of, you say, an unsung hero. I mean, when you think of the team that won the European Cup in 1960, you think you're Charlton, you're Law, and you're best. But he was an ever-reliable part of that team. He's also fifth in the appearance list for United players, obviously behind Charlton, Folks, Ryan Giggs and Alex Stepney. So, I mean, that sort of gives you the sort of level of performance that he managed to put in for United over so many years. He played until 1973 with us, and then he was actually let go on a free transfer to Bolton Wanderers. And at the time, he was still the first-choice left-back at the club. So, I mean, that was a bit of a surprising decision, but he did go on to have a good career at Bolton as well. Played over 170 games for them, and before he moved on to NASL, the North American Soccer League, in 1979, he played with Detroit Express, only got 12 games with them before retiring. After he retired, he came back to Bolton as assistant manager between 70 and 81, and then replaced Bill Foulkes as manager of Steinkjer FC between 1982 and 83. He was also got one or two caps for Ireland as well, 33 in total. He only managed to captain his national team on 4 occasions. But I mean, didn't have much attacking ability, but I mean, defending, he was fantastic. And many people say he's probably the best left back to play at the club. And I mean, you've got players such as Dennis Irwin, aforementioned, and Patrice Evra as well. He's in very, very much esteemed company. So, I mean, a lot of people won't really know too much about him. But he was a stalwart for the club, and he fully deserves to be named a legend of Old Trafford.
You missed Mikel Silvestre off your esteemed left backs there.
Mikel Silvestre is an absolutely fantastic left back. He's a Trojan horse. Alex Ferguson sent him to Arsenal to infiltrate and make sure they don't win anything ever again.
And Dov, what about reserves review this week? Have we got anything to catch up on?
Well, we've got one fixture. Very, very recent, only happened this evening. The reserves were playing Stockport County in the Manchester Senior Cup. It was a 1-0 victory to United to start with. It was a pretty terrible display from United. There was no really fluidity. The passing was woeful. And the defending, which usually for the reserves is top notch, was a bit wayward this evening as well. At the start of the game, Nicky Adjose, he had an early shot, sort of just past the post. So we thought, it was going to be another routine win for United, but obviously Stockport came back into it. Ron Roberts-Healer was in goals, and he produced a fantastic reaction save that prevented Oliver Gill's clearance, which was terrible to say the least, from it going in. And Stockport County player David Poole, who used to be on United's books, he had a shot that went past the sort of top corner of the goal. Sam Hare, he had another shot just off target from sort of distance, and John Disney spurned an opportunity on the 44th minute. David Poole sort of took the ball past three defenders, crossed the ball in, and then the goal was there. It was there to be had, and then John Disney put it wide. So, as you can imagine, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was a little bit angry going into half-time, and I'm sure he let the players know exactly how he felt when he came out, and he did, because he came out a little bit better. Scott Moffat had a sort of ambitious shot, so a bit of a drive, but it was equaled by Lloyd Rigby in the Stockport County goal. And sort of maybe the key turning point in the game was the introduction of Will Keane. He's been great in under-18s this season, and he managed to score the only goal of the game on the 74th minute. Oliver Norwood sort of hit a pass down 30 yards, for 30 yards out, and basically he got the ball, shimmied past a couple of defenders, and then a fantastic shot past Rigby to make it 1-0. And as the game wore on, we actually did start to dominate possession, keeping the ball more, but we couldn't get the second goal. It was good to see Magnus Ekram actually came back from injury in the game as well, and he sort of had a chance quite near the end of the game that just went past the post as a header. But basically, the main man there was Will Keane, who scored the only goal and let us advance to the next round of the Manchester Senior Cup.
Just in terms of the lineup, Dov, I guess quite a few sort of first team fringe players being rested, were they, with the City game in mind?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of youngsters playing as well, like Zila was playing, Possebon got another game, Corey Evans started as well, along with Oliver Norwood, Nicky Jose, and Fabian Brandy as well. So it wasn't really the, shall we say, experienced reserve side that we usually get, but I mean, there's a big game on Thursday, Manchester City. A certain Owen Hargreaves is expected to play in that one, so obviously next week we'll bring everybody up to date about how he got on and see if we got a victory in that game as well.
Great stuff. And just a quick mention before we move on, I noticed the rather than doing a sort of match report of it, I noticed the under-18s, they drew with Crewe and Will Keane on the score sheet again, as well as Nicky Adjose, so both of them two doing well, and I believe Oliver Norwood scored another free kick for Northern Ireland in a under-21 game last week, so he's a bit of a free kick specialist, I believe. They're comparing him to Beckham, so more to come from him, I'm sure. But yeah, that's reserves review for this week. Thanks a lot for that, Dov.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, we'll sort of finish the show off by previewing Milan and Fulham. It's obviously two games coming up for our next show. And we'll start with a big one, Milan on Wednesday. Champions League second leg, of course, round of 16 at Old Trafford. Dan, 3-2 up from the San Siro, obviously. Pato, there's been a lot of talk about him, hasn't there? Whether he'll sort of be fit or not. He didn't play on the weekend for them, but he is in the squad. It's unclear whether he's sort of fit enough to play yet. But that'll be a big lift for them, won't it, if he's in the starting lineup?
Yeah, he's a very good player. He showed in the first leg that he could be a danger as well. I think we'll be fine, though. I mean, even if he does play, I think we'll be able to marshal him quite well. Like I said before, I think AC Milan will come out to try and get a goal nice and early. It'll be up to us to stop them. But hopefully, I hope we can come out of the traps flying as well and hopefully, just, you know, put the tie to bed. It won't be easy. AC Milan are a very good team. They've got decent players in there as well. I'm not sure whether Beckham will start or whether he'll have a place on the bench. But I'm sure he'll get a good reception. But I think, you know, overall, I think we'll be too strong for Milan, and I'm going to put my neck on the line. I think we'll win 3-1.
And Dov, sort of same impact. I mean, Pato, if he isn't in the starting lineup, will that be the same for Milan? Will they look at that and think if Rooney doesn't start for United, which they say is doubtful, I think he'll play. But if he wasn't to be playing, they might get a lift from that.
I think they will, but I think it's more a lot of mind games possibly from Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, leaving him out of the game at the squad at the weekend completely and saying he's doubtful for the game. I think he'll start on the bench, or he'll be named on the bench at least, so that would maybe say to Milan, well, if we need to use him, he's there to be used. And I think that might be the same case with Pato. It's like they'll put him on the bench, not fit, but he's there. So it's more of a threat. But I think Dan's right in what he says. I don't think Milan will win. I think we'll go through. I think we won it in the first leg with three away goals. So Milan have got to come out. They've got to score two, and even then, they've got to score two, but even then, I think we will. If they score two, we'll score three. So I think I don't think they've got the solidity at the back, especially in the fullback area, to cause us, any trouble for scoring against them. So I don't foresee too many problems in that game.
They are four unbeaten, so I think we'll have to be a bit wary. But yeah, hopefully we'll come out on top. Well, we'll move on to preview Fulham then. That's the Premier League game on Sunday. Dov, we'll be looking for revenge, won't we? 3-0 defeat earlier in the season at Craven Cottage. But again, it's going to be tough. They're 9 games unbeaten now, Fulham. And that's not taken into account the Juventus game they've got on Thursday. That'll be tough away from home. But in any case, it's not going to be easy, is it?
I don't think it will be. I mean, Roy Hodgson always has his teams well organised, well drilled. And they're a solid side, as they showed when they beat us 3-0. So I think I would expect at least a reverse in that one, just to keep it even over the sort of two games during the season. But to keep our title challenge going, we need to be winning these games. We're at home against a team we would expect to beat. And we need to be, because I mean, Chelsea, they've got a game in hand on us, and Arsenal are breathing down our necks. So we need a victory, and we can't afford to slip up now. There's no more room for complacency and such like, and squeaky bum time, as they say.
And Dan, Liverpool coming up the weekend after as well, so vitally important we get a good result, isn't it, to take into that game as well.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine against Fulham. But they're a different proposition at home to what they are away, I think. They're obviously, like Dov said, well-organised team. Got a few good players in there, like Danny Murphy's good in midfield, isn't he? Damien Duff's coming into a bit of form now, what he showed in his early career. And obviously, Zamora for England as well. I don't think that'll happen, but he could cause a potential threat to us on Sunday. But I think overall, I think we'll, you know, like most games, I think we'll be too strong. I can see us maybe resting a few players after Wednesday's game. I think it might take a bit out of us. But I mean, I think, you know, players like Gibson will probably get a start in there. And I think we'll be all right. I think we'll come away with a victory and, you know, maintain the lead at the top of the table, at least until Chelsea play their game in hand, which I think is against Portsmouth. So we do need the points, because you expect them to beat Portsmouth down at Fratton Park, don't you? Especially in their problems at the moment.
Certainly do. Well, coming to the end now of week 31 for the RedCafe.net podcast. Do make sure you join us on Facebook and get involved if you haven't done that already. Our email address is podcast@redcafe.net. We do love to hear from you, so send in an email if you get chance. And that just leaves us to say thanks a lot for listening, and make sure you tune in again for episode 32.